This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here. We've fresh off the weekend, got our first set of preseason games in, a lot to react to, including one significant rookie injury that we'll be talking about. We'll also mention the latest that's happening in the PGA playoffs. Scottie Scheffler with a command performance there. Joe Sheehan's going to join us, talking some ball with us. We're going to do much more likely to cash with NFL player props, and then we'll finish with our best bets of the day of the slate there. Looking forward to doing that as well. Make sure to download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Nick Whalen, we'll talk a little golf here first. We were talking off air. We had the full Jordan Spieth experience, 65 on Thursday. Fell out of the top 50, though, by the end of the day on Sunday. Won't be playing in the BMW. But the lead story is Scottie Scheffler. Won for the first time in nearly 7 months, and he dominated. Won pulling away in this one here. 61 on Saturday, and then after that, on Friday. And after that, he was comfortably ahead the rest of the tournament. Won by like 8 shots. Just really pulled away at the end there.
The type of performance that I think every single week we've been asking ourselves, are we going to get this version of Scottie Scheffler? And for the most part, that has not been the case. You know, I think we still have to be realistic when we say it's been kind of a disappointing season for Scottie Scheffler. He's still been the most consistent and best player on tour for the most part. But these are the type of results that we were seeing in previous seasons, right? Where it was just no contest for the bulk of the weekend. And that was really the case if you watched that round on Sunday. So accordingly, Jeff, as we now spin ahead to the BMW this weekend, we'll have Len Hochberg joining the show later this week for his full preview. We are now back to a very clear Scottie on one tier, everybody else on a completely different tier. And that includes Rory McIlroy. Jeff, when you look at the early odds over at DraftKings, Scottie Scheffler 3-1 to win the BMW. You got to go all the way down to almost 14-1 where you find Rory.
Yeah, there were stories about surprise that Rory was playing in this tournament, and he played like that. 8 over he finished for the tournament there. Took a 3-week vacation, a 4-week hiatus from playing golf, period, or from playing in a tournament. And he later said he was trying to show support for this tournament, didn't want to have a super long layoff, but still, mega difference between the two right now. All right, let's move on to the NFL. We had our first set of preseason games. You and I talked about this on Friday with how good Jeremiah Love looked. At that point in time, we didn't know that the little ankle thing that we thought was a little ankle thing that was his last play of the game in that one there, his 14th carry, turned out to be, our 14th touch, excuse me, turned out to be a high ankle sprain. We'll probably miss the rest of the preseason, and week one is now in doubt.
Yeah, there was some discussion of this if you were watching that game on Thursday night, which was, okay, it's very cool to see Jeremiah Love so heavily involved. Why is he still in the game on the third drive when a lot of other starters are right, not out there? Michael Fuller has spent most of the last month telling us, hey, we have all these great running backs on this roster. We got Algier. We got James Conner, Trey Benson, Bam Knight. He might be the best fifth running back in the NFL. And we want to use all these guys. We want to find a balance. And what does he do in the first preseason game of the year? 14 touches in the first half for Jeremiah Love. Now, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, you know, they've overexposed him to injury. And, you know, look, anything like this can happen over the course of an NFL game. You know, we're still talking about a guy who played one half in a preseason game. It's not like he, you know, was playing into the fourth quarter. So I don't want to blame the Cardinals that this injury happened. But, you know, it's pretty rare that you see 14 touches in the first half for a rookie running back. I don't think we're going to see him at all the rest of the preseason. And, you know, we'll see. We still have plenty of time before we get to week one. I think the Cardinals are hopeful that he'll be ready to go, but it's just the last thing you wanted to see, right? Everybody's down on this Cardinals team. We're not really sure what the direction is. You're running it back with Jacoby Brissett. Like, Jeremiah Love is the attraction. He's the reason that we care about the Cardinals this season. It's probably him and Trey McBride, and then we'll see if those receivers hit in fantasy. But to already now know, all right, we won't see any of him until the preseason. We'll see if he plays in week one. It's kind of a disaster from a PR perspective, I think, if you're the Arizona Cardinals. Does this impact at all, Jeff? I know you have a lot of big drafts coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Does it impact what you're doing with Jeremiah Love?
It has to. It absolutely has to. I did a draft yesterday, actually, in the NFFC online championship there. Chris Liss and I were streaming it together live. And Love dropped to 4.1 in the draft, which is a little below ADP. It's like 5 or 6 spots below ADP, but I got to tell you, I have some early exposure to Jeremiah Love, and then I saw how well he played, and I was ready to bump him back up in my rankings, and now it's full stop. It's a halt. And the worst part about this, Nick, is we're not going to know anything until the week before at earliest as far as Love's status for the start of the season. Right. You know, high ankle sprains, they're a multi-week endeavor there. And so he's not going to be practicing for at least a couple of weeks. It's going to be just a leap of faith on, like, you know, what you're going to be able to do. I'm not worried about the usage, except for the fact that how the ankle impacts that there. I was going back and forth a couple times on Twitter about this. And yeah, I really, you know, I think the world of Love's talent, and I don't think a team spends the third overall pick on a player and doesn't use him significantly to the point where we're happy with him there. And a fourth round price would have been just fine, except for the fact I don't know if he's going to be there. And that's the thing that's kind of scaring me there. And the vast majority of people haven't done their fantasy drafts yet either. And so this is, you know, sick. You and I, we live on Sicko Street. We've done all our best balls early. We've done a lot of early drafts. I've got two drafts tonight. You know, it's a different endeavor for people who play in one or two leagues, and their big draft is coming. National Fantasy Football Draft Day coming up this weekend at Circa on Saturday. Use promo code Jeff to sign up for that, by the way, and you get 20% off. Check that out. But, you know, a lot of people are going to be making that tough decision, and I think it's really tough. I think it's really difficult. I definitely make sure I take Tyler Allgeier if I have Jeremiah Love now.
Yeah, well, a couple of things that you said there I think are really important. One is this is a high ankle sprain. It's not just your routine run-of-the-mill ankle sprain. You know, this is something that if it happens in season, you know, you see guys sometimes miss upwards of a month. And like you said, you know, he'll be at practice. He won't be on the field. So even if he is cleared to play in week one, it's like, okay, what does he look like? Does he now have some rust that he needs to shake off? You know, it's one thing to not play in the preseason. It's another thing to not get those reps over, you know, almost a month leading up to week one. You also look at the schedule coming out of the gate for Arizona. Part of the reason we're so down on this team isn't just the roster. It's that they have the toughest schedule in the NFL, and they start at the Chargers in week one. They get the Seahawks in week two, at the Niners in week three, the Giants in week four. I mean, those are all really fearsome defensive fronts to be facing. So I think it is going to be an uphill battle early on, even if the workload is there for Jeremiah Love. We'll talk about some other training camp injuries, preseason injuries in just a moment. But folks, we're here from rotowire.com. And if you want to bet smarter this season, you need everything we have to offer over at RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Check out rotowire.com right now. Use our promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Put that in. It gets you 15% off anything we offer. That's rotowire.com, promo code V-S-I-N. Jeff, we're also on injury watch right now out in New York. Breece Hall strained his right groin at practice earlier this morning. There was a brief panic on Twitter. Aaron Glenn has since assuaged that a little bit, saying that he doesn't think this is an overly serious injury. But nonetheless, there's going to be imaging. There's going to be an MRI for Breece Hall. I think there's a chance, much like Jeremiah Love, that maybe we don't see him the rest of the preseason. I think at the very least, he's missing some time in practice in the short term. But where did you come in on Breece Hall? This injury aside, I think he was one of the more polarizing running backs because I think we all like the talent. There aren't a lot of people who are fired up about this Jets offense, even after adding some talent and switching out quarterbacks this offseason.
I like the late season usage out of Hall. I thought that they kind of got away from the whole, we have three great running backs, we're going to put him through this probationary period there. They kind of realized that. Now we got a new offensive coordinator. It's Frank Reich. I'm not really thrilled with, but he's still a different play caller there. I still think that it was a good situation. Funny thing is, I mentioned Jeremiah Love in my draft yesterday, went at 4.1. I took the quote-unquote safer option of Breece Hall at 4.2, and yeah, we're in the same purgatory now. I probably have had enough exposure to Breece Hall now, too. The thing is, I like the talent, but now I'm going to need another round discount before I take him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do think we will likely see more Braylon Allen, maybe, than we want. You know, I think the Jets are still hanging on to that. If he can stay healthy, we'll see. And I guess I have some level of optimism for the Jets. If we're just comparing it to last season, the bar is extremely low. I think the quarterback play, even as a non-Geno guy, will be better than it was. If you get a healthy season out of Garrett Wilson, that certainly changes things. I will say, if you're paying attention to Omar Cooper, who they took out of Indiana, he's down to fourth on the depth chart right now. We've had a lot of rookie wide receivers drawing rave reviews so far in camp and in preseason. He has not been one of those guys. So it looks like he's kind of a little bit behind some of the other big names in that class, but nonetheless, still is a better group of skill players in New York than what we were dealing with last season. Jeff, we also had some news out of Dallas over the weekend. Von Miller expected to sign with the Cowboys. This will be his age 37 season. Now, had 9 sacks a year ago, which is certainly more than I would have guessed. That was his most in any season since he had 9.5 back in 2021. 9th all-time on the official sacks list. That only dates back to the early 80s. He needs just 3 sacks to tie Michael Strahan for 6th all-time, so a very good chance to move at least into the top 6. If he has a big year out of nowhere, if he gets to like 12 sacks, he can move into the top 5 all-time. Is this something that moves the needle for you as Dallas continues to retool what was a horrendous defensive unit last year?
I thought they were going to be better already. I like their DC signing. I like some of the moves they made. They don't have like the one stud pass rusher. They have some interesting names. They have Ezeraku, Lawrence, he spent a decent pick on Malachi Lawrence. Miller's going to come in only in obvious pass rush situations is the way I see this here. So they don't really need him to be like, oh, he needs to set the edge on the run. No, that's not going to happen very often. They're going to bring him in as a specialist, kind of the Charles Haley role, if you will. So anyways, we're going to talk more football later on. We're going to be talking about more likely to cash coming up next. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen with rotowire.com. Welcome those of you listening on SiriusXM channel 158. And of course, those of you streaming with us here on YouTube TV and our wonderful VSiN Watch app. It's time for one of our favorite segments. We call it What's More Likely to Cash.
We're hunting for tickets with a real shot. Welcome to What's More Likely to Cash.
It's a football player prop version of What's More Likely to Cash. And this one's interesting because some of these props are different numbers with the same price. So something we're paying attention to here. We're starting off with Caleb Williams versus Tyler Shuck. And passing yards is the prop. For Caleb Williams, it's 3,649.5. For Tyler Shuck, it's 3,449.5. Both at -120 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Nick, what's more likely to cash?
Well, Michael Cohen coming out hot here, giving us a pretty difficult one, I think, if we're being honest, because with Tyler Shuck, I think there's a lot of projecting. There's a lot of proration that needs to be done. He really only started 9 games last season, despite playing parts of 2 others. But in those 9 starts, put up 251 passing yards per game. So at that rate, Jeff, he would have gone over his number in just 14 games. If you prorate that to 17 games, he was on pace for almost 4,300 passing yards. Meanwhile, Caleb Williams, of course, fell just short of the 4,000 mark for the Bears last year. Now, Ben Johnson is on the record that he wants the Bears to set the all-time scoring record this season. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I believe that Ben Johnson is going to do everything in his power to attempt to set that record. He's talking a lot more positively about Caleb Williams this year compared to some of the quotes we saw last season. I think this is going to be Caleb Williams for me, Jeff. I think both guys can get there, but it's hard for me to envision Caleb Williams taking a notable step back in year 3, because again, he approached 4,000 yards last year, despite ranking right near the bottom of the league in completion percentage. He was 32nd among quarterbacks who started at least 8 games. That was worse than Cam Ward, worse than Michael Penix, more than 6 percentage points below league average, and like 10 percentage points behind guys like Josh Allen, Brock Purdy, Jared Goff. So if you forecast some improvement for Caleb Williams, we, of course, like the weapons around him. I think he's the choice for me. And I think if you want to mount a case against Tyler Shough, who I like, and, you know, I like this Saints team, I don't know that they're going to be asking him to throw for 250 plus every single week, because I think the Saints will actually have a running game this year, which was not the case whatsoever in 2025.
All right. Very good. I think this is a really interesting one for sure. And, you know, so much positive buzz on Shough. I wonder about, though, like the Jordan Tyson injury, how much that maybe that dampens our enthusiasm just a little bit. Speaking of dampening enthusiasm, Christian McCaffrey, you know, he's got tightness or soreness. I forget which. One of them's tightness, one of them's soreness. Niners and the electrical substation, blah, blah, blah. He's going up against Javonte Williams for rushing yards. And rushing yards is interesting here, too. Not just total yards, but rushing yards. 949.5 is the number. Both of them at minus 110. What's more likely to cash?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting one, Jeff, because you have two different like profiles of player, right? I think if somebody asked you, like, you know, who had more rushing yards last season, everyone would say, of course, it had to be Christian McCaffrey. He's just a much better player than Javonte Williams. And he did technically have more yards, but he had one more rushing yard than Javonte Williams last season. 1202 compared to 1201. When you look at the efficiency, CMC, he was second in the league in total carries behind Jonathan Taylor, 39th among qualified running backs in yards per attempt at 3.9. I think if you're San Francisco, you just have to find a way to try to scale back that workload a bit. You know, I'm very skeptical of Christian McCaffrey staying healthy for a second straight year. I'm not drafting him in fantasy. If he plays even 14 or 15 games based on that efficiency, this number could still very much be in jeopardy. So this is pretty clearly Javonte Williams for me. He's a guy who was near the top of the league in success rate last year, 4.8 yards per attempt, almost a full yard better than Christian McCaffrey. I feel a lot better about the Cowboys offense overall right now than I do San Francisco. RotoWire has the Cowboys ranked as the number 7 offensive line in the NFL, which I think is pretty impressive, Jeff, when you consider the amount of turnover they've had on that unit over the last few years. They've done a really good job rebuilding it into one of the better lines in the NFL. And I think that the hammer for Javonte Williams here, Jeff, is that Dallas brought in zero competition for him. They had opportunities to bring in some veterans, to draft some players in the middle rounds. They opted not to do that. He is very clearly the guy, and I think he could repeat what he did last season.
Yeah, I think there's been some optimism about Jaden Blue, but that's about it. Some optimism about Jaden Blue is doing a lot of work because he was such a negative story last year. He was buried in the doghouse last year. Tyler Warren versus Kyle Pitts. Now we're talking here. Now we're talking about some real life fantasy decisions we have to make. They have the same receiving yard prop, but Warren is going about 2.5 rounds earlier than Pitts on average in the NFFC and early ADP. Do you follow along lines with that, or do you have a different opinion? The number is 774.5, -110 is the price. Mm-hmm. What's more likely to cash?
Yeah, I do follow in line with that ADP. I think it's more likely that Tyler Warren goes over this number. Now, you know, Pitts had the better season a year ago from start to finish. He finished with more total yards. So there is, I guess, less for regression relative to last year's numbers for Tyler Warren. But the thing is, Jeff, I just don't want any part of this Atlanta Falcons offense right now. I love Bijan Robinson. He's really the only piece I would trust right now in fantasy football. You know, with how last year ended, I think we do forget how good Tyler Warren was for the first 2/3 of the year. He had over 600 yards in his first 10 games, only 200 yards in his final 7. That entire offense fell off after Daniel Jones went down. But this is a guy who's a first round pick for a reason. The Colts absolutely need him to be an elite tight end. He was 3rd among tight ends in targets last season. I think we'll see more efficiency on those targets. That's what really dropped off toward the end of the year when they lost Daniel Jones. So look, if you're in on Tyler Warren, it requires some level of faith that Daniel Jones is going to look like the guy that he was last season. But I will remind you, Jeff, that the other option is putting your faith into a Tagovailoa and potentially Michael Penix at some point. And that is not something I'm willing to do right now. All right, we'll have a couple more coming for you in just a moment. But have you ever thought you'd do a better job managing an NFL franchise than the actual GMs? If the idea of making real football decisions, player contracts, salary cap, injury replacements, if that appeals to you, you have to try Franchise League Football. It's the first real innovation in the fantasy space since DFS and best ball. It recently won the Best Product Experience Award for startups from the Fantasy Sports and Gaming Association. In franchise league football, you're the GM from day one. You're in full control to build your winning franchise. Compete head-to-head, just like traditional fantasy football. Tons of features that keep it fresh and realistic while ensuring that the best GMs raise the trophy year after year. You can check it out right now over at franchiseleaguefootball.com. Just make sure you use the code ROTOWIRE50 to save 50%. That's code ROTOWIRE50 at franchiseleaguefootball.com. All right, Jeff, for flipping the script, I'm going to throw a couple more NFL player futures your way. You're going to tell me which is more likely to cash. We're going to a pair of stud wide receivers. A.J. Brown, over 1,124.5 receiving yards, or Nico Collins, slightly lower number, 1,074.5, both of these minus 110.
Yeah, and I'll be clear, I like both of these receivers. I would be happy to have them in fantasy leagues, maybe even get both of them in some formats there. Last night, in fact, I took Collins at pick 23. A.J. Brown, by the way, went at pick 12 in this draft, and I think that's about accurate. I think that's about the right split. Now, is our 12 picks worth about 50 yards? I think probably so. I'm in on A.J. Brown. I really love the pairing with Drake May. I think you get him in an offense there where you got a quarterback that can make every throw, something that I don't think we saw with Jalen Hurts last year. I'm not really kind of going out on a limb here. We saw A.J. Brown's frustration the last two seasons. The structure of the offense, the limitations of Jalen Hurts contributed to that trade happening. And I don't think Brown is by any means on the downslope. I know he's a couple of years older, but man, he was only a couple of years removed from a 1,400-yard season. I think the ceiling for A.J. Brown is even higher. So, yeah, I'm going to say I think A.J. Brown is more likely to cash. Speaking on Nico Collins real quick, he's never played more than 15 games in a given season, including 14 in his rookie year, 15 last year, and then he missed a playoff game due to a concussion. These are real injuries, something to worry about. And the Texans, they're a defense team. They're going to be more of a run team this year because they refurbished their offensive line. I think there's probably less volume for Nico Collins as well. So I'll say I think both are likely to cash, but A.J. Brown is more likely to cash.
Totally with you. I think if this hits in New England for A.J. Brown, it could really hit. I mean, we're talking a 1,600-yard ceiling for him in New England. Let's finish out with a defensive player prop matchup, Jeff. We have the same number for regular season sacks for both T.J. Watt and Brian Burns. 11.25 is your number, both plus 120 to go over, which is more likely to cash.
All right, this is fun. This is Michael Cohen getting a little sassy here at the end of what's more likely to cash. I think it's the answer is Burns here. RotoWire projects 9 sacks for both, by the way. So we have a kind of a lower floor on our projection. However, I think that while Watt might have the higher ceiling, had the huge season, 19.5 sacks a couple of years ago, Burns had 16.5 last year, few years younger, a lot of talent around him. I think geared up for that pass rush. I'm going to go with Burns on this one there, but it's close.
Joe Sheehan stopping by the Progressive guest line when we come back to talk to baseball. We'll get some plays for the Monday MLB card when we come back. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here, bringing in our first and only guest today on the Progressive guest line. He is our good buddy, Joe Sheehan, best baseball writer that I know, maybe the best baseball writer in the history of writing about baseball. I'm not going to fluff him up too much here, but follow him on Twitter at Joe_Sheehan, on Blue Sky at Sheehan Newsletter. He is Joe Sheehan. Joe, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
Good, man. And I'm glad you got my Venmo for that intro. I appreciate that.
No problem. No problem at all. Hey, before we ask you for your picks, quick note for listeners out there, Reds and Cardinals starting up in 10 minutes. If you just picked up Joshua Baez in your fantasy league, congratulations. Now go get him in your starting lineup before this game starts. All right, great. Now that we've done dispense with that, let's talk some picks for today, Joe. Orioles, Rays, wraparound series conclusion here. Game 4 of this series, Orioles have won the first 3 against the Rays. Momentum is nothing in baseball. Again, data point 7 billion. What do you got in this game? Brandon Young versus Shane McClanahan.
Yeah, this is McClanahan's return from the IL after a small trip to the IL for a back issue. You know, we think about him as a strikeout guy, a power pitcher, but if you look at him this year, he's been under five strikeouts in more than half of his starts, 11 out of 20. He's been under five strikeouts in six of his last seven. So I think when you combine the fact that he hasn't been a big strikeout guy lately, and he's probably not going to work too deep into this game, his first start off the IL, I like the under 4.5 strikeouts. So I've been able to get an even money at one of the sites earlier. There is some risk in that the Orioles have the highest strikeout rate in baseball against lefties. So it's not just an obvious, easy pick. I just don't think McClanahan is going to work deep enough into this game to reach five strikeouts.
Joe, we mentioned that Cardinals-Reds game starting up in 10 minutes. It is game one of a doubleheader. We got a makeup game from a rainout back in May, but I know you have a play for the late game tonight in Cincinnati. That is Andre Pallante going up against Rhett Lauder, and you're taking a look at the total.
Yeah, Nick, I don't usually like to go and bet the second game of a doubleheader before the first one gets played. But in this case, you know, I really thought that was a good number. The number is 9. It's total's lined at 9. You've got two pitchers in Pallante and Lauder, been pretty effective lately. But more importantly, it's two offenses that are two of the bottom six offenses in the game against right-handed pitching. And here's the other interesting thing. Great American Small Park, Jeff, I owe you a dollar for that. It's actually not played as a hitter's park this year. Now, conceding that one-year park factors can be a little bit wonky, we're talking about one of the best hitter's parks in baseball actually playing as a slightly below-average hitter's park this year. So throw all that together, teams that can't hit righties, a park that's not playing great for runs this year. There is some risk. You don't know how they'll use the bullpens in the first game, but I think the under 9 here is a pretty solid play.
Let's talk a little Padres-Mets, two teams that are actually playing really good ball right now. I think people knew that mostly about the Padres, but the Mets have actually played decent ball since the trade deadline. They just swept the Nationals over the weekend. And we got Nolan McClain versus Walker Buehler. Got to say, pitching matchups heavily in favor of the Mets here.
Not just overall, Jeff, but in the first five innings. Nolan McClain has been absolutely dominant first two times through the lineup, a .180 batting average, a .560 OPS. And when he gets knocked around, it tends to be later in the game. You know, Walker Buehler, honestly, better than I expected him to be this year. He's actually been good at giving the Padres decent five-inning starts for a while here, but the gap between him and McClain over those first five innings is significant. Now, it's a big number. I want to say I got it at 155 earlier today, and you are paying some juice here. But the Mets in the first five innings, it's a lot of reasons to believe that the Padres won't even score off Nolan McClain, and the Mets should be able to get a run or two off Buehler. So Mets for the first five innings. Now, I want to mention here, guys, I mentioned McClanahan, and we've talked about Walker Buehler here, two of the first three games. Both those two pitchers had Tommy John surgeries. And they're pitchers who owe their careers to Dr. Frank Jobe and Tommy John, who passed over the weekend. And you look at any card, tomorrow's card, Wednesday's card, you're going to find two or three starting pitchers who would not be pitching if not for Tommy John. And this just really shows up on any betting card in any game of baseball. John Rogel, who keeps the Tommy John database, has calculated that about a third of innings pitched this year will be pitched by pitchers who have undergone Tommy John surgery.
Quick follow-up, Tommy John, should he be in the Hall of Fame?
I can't say I care, and I don't mean that as a knock on John, but the Hall of Fame has so lost its way that I think we have to stop using it as a measure of the player's career. Whether Tommy John went in through the writer's vote, whether he went in through the Veterans Committee, whether he never gets in, doesn't change his impact on the game. 288 wins, 4,700 innings. Guys, he had 31 WAR before the surgery, and 31 WAR after the surgery. Actually, had top two AL Cy Young finishes after the surgery. This is an all-time great player who, by undergoing the surgery, by pioneering the rehab, set the course. Will Carroll put it. You measure some players' careers by championships. You measure Tommy John's impact by the careers that he allowed to happen. So, I mean, should he be in the Hall of Fame? Yes, if you're asking me, but I just don't think the Hall of Fame matters as much anymore. I think Tommy John, though, should be remembered both as a pioneer because of the surgery and as a great pitcher. And I think we've forgotten that second part a little bit.
We'll tell you what Joe Sheehan's doing with the LA Dodgers tonight in just a moment. But folks, week zero of college football is almost here. And with the NFL regular season right behind it, now is the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and all the best bets from VSiN's top experts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests. You get real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe, vsin.com/subscribe. Joe Sheehan from the Joe Sheehan newsletter, joesheehan.com, @Joe_Sheehan, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I know you have one more play you like on this Monday night slate, Joe. Heading out to Colorado for Dodgers-Rockies. L.A. massive favorite, as you'd expect, on the money line. We did see that offense sputter a bit over the weekend against Milwaukee, but look, heading to Denver might be exactly what you want to see on the schedule. So what are you doing with the total tonight all the way up at 11?
Yeah, Nick, I'm a little surprised by this one myself, but I'm going under in a Coors Field game with Tomoyuki Sugano on the mound. And no, I haven't been drinking. But when you look at this Dodgers offense over the last 30 days, or even just since the break, 93 weighted runs created plus, that's below average. They're actually 17th in baseball. We saw over the weekend the Brewers staff really did work them. Now, the Rockies staff isn't nearly as good, but their bullpen has actually been one of the best bullpens they've had, you know, in recent seasons. This is also a Rockies team that can't hit. They're last in MLB and WRC plus against left-handed pitching. They go up against Blake Snell tonight. And Snell is exactly the kind of pitcher you want going in Colorado. He doesn't allow hits. He doesn't allow contact. He strikes out guys. He walks guys. But he just doesn't allow a whole lot of contact. So that's the perfect pitcher for Coors Field. Now, I will say this was 11 earlier. It was already 10.5 in some spots. That's a key number, 11. So if you really want to try to pay the extra juice to get 11, I'd recommend it.
Let's keep up on the Dodger take here for a second there. Since July 1st and 91 WRC plus, we've seen copious pieces out there talking about how teams are just attacking him with fastballs. Logan Henderson the other day, fastballs and changeups. That's all it took for him to shut them down. And Kyle Tucker is a key point of this here too. You know, he was supposed to be the guy that replaced Michael Conforto, gave him that left-handed bat to give him some balance. And Michael Conforto is having a better year by at least by rate stats than Tucker is. Got benched on Saturday night. He's having a terrible, no good, awful season.
Yeah, and really, and not somebody who I would have tied into the Dodgers' age issues. Tucker's 29. You talk about Freeman. You talk about Muncy. You talk about Betts. Some of these older hitters where you would expect some age-related decline. Tucker's year. This is a year where Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has fallen off, where Cal Raleigh has fallen off, and I think because of those two players, we've lost track of just how far Kyle Tucker has fallen off. Still playing decent defense in right field. He had a very awkward play yesterday, drawing some walks, but the bat to ball just hasn't been there. And that's one of the reasons the Dodgers offense has been disappointing. You mentioned, you know, that since the All-Star break, they don't have anybody with a 120 weighted runs created plus since the break. Tucker's at 75. Remember, 100 is average. 75 is basically replacement level for a hitter. He's not hitting well. Mookie Betts isn't hitting well. So that's a lot of the reasons why I'm fading their offense tonight in Colorado. You mentioned the fastball issue. There was some really good work done by Eno Saris at The Athletic and Chad Moriyama at Dodgers Digest that talked about how teams over the course of the year have been throwing more and more fastballs at the Dodgers, which is against the trend in anybody else in baseball. Remember, the trend in baseball now is to throw fewer four-seam fastballs. And the Dodgers teams are just saying, we're going to attack you because we don't think your older bats can catch up. Well, over the last 3 or 4 months, that's been the case. And this is one of the big reasons, guys. You know, after the school trade, we heard a lot about, oh, they're going to walk to the World Series. They're a lock. They're inevitable. I think they were down to minus 160 to win the World Series at one point. Plus 160. Well, that was all ridiculous because the team on the field just doesn't have that kind of offense. So again, if you want to fade the Dodgers to win the World Series, I still think that's a great bet.
Freddie Freeman hasn't homered since July 4th either. Fun fact as far as that goes. Not so fun if you have him in your fantasy team like I do. Joseph, thank you. Great stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk soon. Coming up next on Prop Points, going to be our best bets of the day. Stay tuned. This is Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into the Monday edition of Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Got one Major League Baseball game in action. We are just underway between the Cardinals and the Reds. Game one of a doubleheader out in Cincinnati in the top of the first. Joshua Baez, by the way, leading off, hit by a pitch to begin the game. So he is on first base, no outs right now in the top of the first for the Cardinals. Jeff, we touched on Baez a little bit with Joe Sheehan, but an all-time debut, right? I think if you were on Twitter on Sunday morning or Saturday night, you saw the term, the greatest debut in Major League history thrown around. I think that's probably accurate. Three home runs in his first three Major League at-bats. Did go 0-for-5 with three strikeouts yesterday, but we don't need to talk about that. My question to you, Jeff, is what kind of bidding frenzy did we see for Joshua Baez in fantasy last night? A lot of these high-stakes leagues, you see waivers run on Sunday. And in a lot of these leagues, you have to wait until a player is called up and actually plays in a Major League game in order to acquire them. Baez, by the way, the number 11 prospect in fantasy baseball per our guy, James Anderson.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in a lot of the main event leagues in the NFBC, you can pick up a guy that was drafted and then dropped. And in some cases, he was stashed all season long. He was 40% rostered in the main event going into last night's fab bidding. But in the leagues where he was available, we're talking triple-digit bids, which it's rare to find this late in the season. Not that many people have that sort of budget remaining. You know, it was the top bid in every league where he happened to be available. I got him in one league. I picked him up in another one that was not a fab bidding league. And I had another one where he was stashed. And like I mentioned before we brought Joe on, is make sure you set that lineup there before the game started there, because, hey, you might have been holding him for 4 months and forgot that you even had him on your roster there. Always good to do a checkup there every once in a while, but absolutely worth it. I mean, this is a question we were wondering at the trade deadline. Okay, now they're going to bring him up. Finally, they did. And it took a while for them to get to that there, but what a debut. And they did that because of service time. They want to make sure that they retain his rights for an extra year. There was some talk about rookie eligibility for next season, because you get a draft pick compensation if he wins rookie of the year next year. So that was all part of the calculus.
Cardinals will play what is now a 5-game set in Cincinnati to begin the week. They'll head to Philly for the weekend. Cards 3.5 back of the final wild card spot in the National League heading into the day. Let's head to the American League, Jeff, as we start to get your card for the Monday baseball slate. O's Rays down in Tampa. Brandon Young, Shane McClanahan is our pitching matchup. And you're taking a page out of Joe Sheehan's book, looking at the total to start us off.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with Joe on the under 4.5 strikeouts with Shane McClanahan. Only threw 30 pitches in his rehab start. Now, granted, it was a short trip to the IL, so perhaps he didn't need those extra stretching out. But he's not a big strikeout pitcher, and I think it'll be short rest. The interesting part about this, though, is Baltimore does strike out a lot against left-handers. Highest K percentage against left-handers in baseball at 25.6%. So if there is a team that he would strike out a number of batters a lot, it would be the Orioles. He's faced them two other times this year, by the way, 6 and 3 strikeouts respectively in those two starts. He's going to face them twice this week as well, home and away. This is the fourth game of that wraparound series. I also like the under in this game. I think Brandon Young is a little underrated in terms of what he can bring with that fastball. I like the under 8 at -118 over at Bet Rivers.
Jeff, I think this has to be the craziest wildcard race that at least I can remember off the top of my head. We have 7 teams right now in the American League who are absolutely in it. 7 teams within 2.5 games of that final wildcard spot, which is currently occupied now by the Orioles, coming off of 3 straight wins. Is there any team that you would pick out of this group and say, I am confident that they are actually going to grab that final wild card spot? Have you even attempted to handicap this?
No. And that's the thing, is I look at the teams that are there and I'm amazed that they're there. The Texas Rangers are a half game out. They did nothing at the trade deadline. They had lost 5 games in a row up to the trade deadline. You're like, okay, they've given up. You know, they had, Josh Young got hurt. You know, they were definitely going to be in a situation there where they're not going to be, going for it there. So, of course, they're a half game out. The Blue Jays, they were sellers at the trade deadline. They're a game out. The Tigers, they just got swept at home by the White Sox. They're still just a game out in the wild card. They're the only team, by the way, of all these contenders for the last wild card spot that has a positive run differential. And in fact, they're at +83, as a matter of fact, but everyone else is at least -23. In terms of run differential, it just tells you the quality of these their teams are in this wild card race. I thought the Guardians were pretty well set up. They actually kind of made some moves and positive moves, but they've been terrible since the All-Star break. They've won, you know, they've lost 7 out of their last 10. They're a game and a half out. I don't have a single team that I feel confident about. The Mariners are down there at 59-66. Biggest disappointment to me in baseball, I think. At least the biggest disappointment in the American League. The Mets are the biggest disappointment in baseball. But the Mariners, they're not that far behind. I can't believe how bad they've been. Yet they just won the last two games against the Houston Astros. Probably should have swept them. But, Munoz gave up a walk-off on Friday night. So, I think the Mariners still have the best talent. But clearly they haven't. They failed to launch all season long.
Big series coming up for the M's off today before beginning a 3-game set in Milwaukee tomorrow night. Let's head to another team chasing a wild card spot, this time in the National League, Jeff. The Marlins, 3 games out heading into the week. They are at Philadelphia tonight. Jansen Junk taking on Christopher Sanchez, who continues to be fantastic at home.
Yeah, 1.41 ERA, 1.03 WHIP at home, 0.3 homers per nine at home, just ridiculously low rate. And the Marlins don't hit lefties all that well. 93 WRC plus against lefties. Had a nice weekend against the Reds, but keep in mind, even their win yesterday, it was breaking through against the dregs of the Reds bullpen late in that game. They did nothing early in that game. So I think against left-handers, the Marlins are pretty helpless. I'm going with a pretty wild number here. Under 2.5 on the Marlins team total just because of the matchup against Sanchez. You're getting a plus price for it at least, plus 114 over at DraftKings. And I'll also add on Sanchez K rate here. Christopher Sanchez over 6.5 Ks. It is minus 135 at Circa. That's the best price I could find. So if you want a plus price, you have to do an alt total at 7.5. And yeah, you could do that. And I wouldn't be against that necessarily because he's just so good at home.
So, Jeff, we talked a little bit about the pitching mismatch in Padres-Mets. This game in New York tonight. Mets just slight favorites on the money line. Walker Buehler taking on Nolan McLean. So, Joe Sheehan, like Mets first five, you are going to an alt team total for the red-hot New York Mets.
Yeah, they're playing good ball. They got some good young hitters on this team that are kind of stepping up a little bit there. And I also kind of like seeing what McLean has done so far. But keep in mind Walker Buehler on the road. He's got a 5.47 ERA, a 1.57 WHIP on the road. I know I went against him last time out, and that's shame on me because it was a home start in Petco during the day, and I should have probably been a little more optimistic. I think the Brewers hit into a ton of double plays in that game too. So they were a little unlucky not to get to them a little bit more, but I like the Mets alt team total over 4.5. I want to get the alt team total so I could get a plus price. The team totals have them at 3.5, but I'm going to go with the alt at 4.5 plus 115 over at DraftKings.
Let's get a couple more plays on the card before we hand out our best bets of the night. Jeff, all eyes will be on A's Royals in Kansas City tonight for Mason Barnett taking on Michael Wacha. You're going to the total here.
Yeah, and I'm going with an under here on this one there. It's still dicey just because, Kauffman Stadium is a sneaky good place to hit these days. But these are sneaky bad lineups. And the A's just lost Tyler Soderstrom to a hip impingement. The latest of a series of injuries. Nick Kurtz is probably not coming back this year. I actually dropped him in one redraft league yesterday. Sad to do it, but I had to do it. No Shea Langeliers as well. So they're missing key components of that lineup. And the Royals, it's Witt, it's Caglione, and it's nothing else on top of that lineup there. It's just a pretty bad lineup as well. So with a 9 total in this game, I'm going to take the under, minus 110 over at FanDuel.
Let's get to our best bets of the night, Jeff. As always, you've given us some great plays for the MLB card. Your favorite play for Monday night?
It's Christopher Sanchez, over 6.5 strikeouts. It's not a great price, minus 135 at Circa, but I think the number should be 7.5. So I'll take the 6.5. I'll pay the minus price. If you want to goose it up and play an alt strikeout total, be my guest, but I think he's going to get a bunch of Ks tonight.
I'm going to keep adding to my NFL futures portfolio, Jeff. So give me the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice.
Not to win the NFC East. I'm not going quite that far, but the Cowboys to make the playoffs in the NFC. Even money right now over at DraftKings. The more I think about this Cowboys team, Jeff, the more I'm buying the defensive improvement. This was a top 5 offense in football last year. We talked about the running game with Javonte Williams earlier in the show. I think it's fair to say they have arguably the best wide receiver duo in the NFL. Apologies to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but I think Pickens and Lamb very much in that conversation. Look, they've gone out and I think on paper at least done what they need to do to improve that defense. So Cowboys to make the playoffs at even money. Might do a little sprinkle on Brian Schottenheimer, coach of the year as well, at 15-1. That's going to wrap the Monday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Keep it locked here on VSiN Money Moves. Jonathan Von Tobel coming your way next.